SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What's this gonna be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? I'm diddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Jamal Murray, can you hear us in there? Come out with your hands up. Yes, you, Jamal Murray, 3 of 18 from the floor.
That's the way we're going to start out today's show. Jamal Murray, where were you last night? Welcome in to the best hour of your day right now. You know what time it is. It's time for Moneyline, right here on Sirius XM Channel 159, Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and Kevin, and I don't even believe what I'm watching right now. Either the Timberwolves slow played this season with injuries, didn't feel like getting that top seed, and they are by far and away the best team we've ever seen in the NBA playoffs, or the Nuggets are just out here fooling, Kevin. Which one is it?
Well, first of all, Minnesota would have been the one seed comfortably if Kat didn't get injured. So that is one item on the plate of this whole thing. The other is the Nuggets aren't as good as last year. But because everybody else in the West didn't have a proven pedigree, other than literally the Lakers, which is hilarious, but they were the 7 seed and were all year battling to not even be in the 9-10 game, Denver remained these comfortable favorites. But Donnie, there's one of the reasons Denver wasn't the 1 seed is they lost all the tiebreakers to Minnesota and Oklahoma City. It was a sign of concern. And the series against the Lakers, again, how the people who were like, oh man, see, they just don't care. How dare you? I mean, seriously. The notion that Denver was down at half against that Laker team because they didn't care is ridiculous. No, it's because Denver's not as good. Now, shame on the Lakers for not being able to capitalize more and extending that series further than they could. But Minnesota right now, certainly, Donnie, is downhill with a world of momentum. Anthony Edwards has it going on. But there are certain things with the Nuggets that suggest this team is a A1 front runner. And they cannot handle being behind the eight ball. Their energy last night, from superstars to head coach, was not a team at home trailing early. Was not a team going down 2-0 in a series. That was a team being eliminated. Do you remember, do you remember when the Lakers were swept by the Mavs and Andrew Bynum shoved J.J. Barea? Do you remember that? Okay. Yeah. That came because the Lakers got embarrassed in the series and swept. And it was the end of the series. Denver was acting like that in game two. Michael Malone begging for texts. Nikola Jokic looking like he wanted to be anywhere else on this planet.
Yeah.
And Jamal Murray embarrassing himself on and off the court. So I don't know what to do with Denver, because talent-wise, this series shouldn't be over. But their body language and actions are a team that wants to be anywhere else than on the court.
Nope. Now you look at the Denver Nuggets superstar Nikola Jokic, and maybe the wire's getting crossed, Kevin. And if he really wanted to speak the regular, he'd be at the mic being like this.
Must get back to Serbia. Must go watch my horses.
I mean, come on, man. Jokic, I needed a triple-double last night. My guy had 7 assists at the break last night, Kevin, and ended with 8. Make it make sense. Somebody make a jump shot. That
should have
been the best bet. I don't know. He should have did something else. He should have thrown it to Malone on the sideline. Quick 3-point shot off the bench. I mean, my goodness. Like, I didn't watch that game for the most part. It was asleep. But when I roll over in the middle of the night, I checked the scores. I couldn't even believe what the score was in the third quarter. I'm like, how many points does Denver have at this point? But I looked at the totals, right, saying, okay, the triple-double is still going to, this is going to be great. They're going to get hammered, and he's going to get one of those 14, 11, and 10 triple-doubles, which counts just like a 50, 30, and 20 triple-double, and he wasn't able to do that. So I was angered right away. Also, FanDuel yesterday and Bet365, Kevin, had the same wager but better pricing on 365. It was 25 points or more from Anthony Edwards, 25 points or more from Jokic. One was a plus 100 on FanDuel, and Bet365 did the same thing as that. You know what? We're going to make that plus 125. Love that wager and took it. I'm like, look, especially in the afternoon, we started talking about, like, Gobert wasn't going to play. I'm like, this should open up everything. And they were worse on offense with Gobert not even in the game.
Here's the worst part, Donnie. You can't blame it on the blowout. He played 39 damn minutes. He played 39 minutes. I mean, it was atrocious. It was abysmal. Everything was awful for Denver yesterday. Again, Minnesota got downhill on them and never looked back. And, you know, sometimes, Donnie, you know, you always say, let me pull up the box score. The Minnesota box score is not going to overwhelm you. They held the Nuggets to 80. It's the Nuggets box score that you look at and you go, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Jokic and Murray were outscored by Karl Anthony Towns. End of sentence.
Three of 18 from the floor for Jamal Murray. And then the last year, I was like, man, this guy's one of those clutch performers now. You're going to have to watch. You got Batman and Robin out there just like kicking ass and taking names, and nobody's going to beat the Nuggets until they ran into the Timberwolves. And again, I feel like I birthed the Timberwolves. Cozy was like, hey, you know what? Phoenix is going to get him. I'm like, no, I'll take that 114 price. I like the Timberwolves. Should have called the sweep on there. Now we're talking about the Timberwolves. If you go to FanDuel and you say, when is the majority of the bets going to come in? Or should I say, where's the handicapping right now in the series? Of when this is going to end. Four games is the favorite. Sweep. Rifles. The Wolves are going to sweep the Suns and sweep the Nuggets. Incredible.
Again, it's one of those bizarre. Donnie, I wish I could come on here and tell you definitively that it's going to be a sweep or Denver's got a lot of life. Denver losing the first two games is not my problem. My problem are two things. It's one, the level of Jamal Murray's play is horrific. And for people who will say, oh, it's the calf, that's worse, actually. If he is playing this way because of the calf, that's worse than Minnesota's bottling him up because he's not going to heal the calf. But the other problem I have is what I just talked about, was their energy, Donnie. Now, they don't play again until Friday. Good luck figuring out the NBA schedule. I don't know. But this is one of these situations where Denver, if they take the time to regroup championship pedigree DRS, they should absolutely be able. They should absolutely have no issues bouncing back in Minnesota, right? They won plenty of road games last year in the playoffs. It's not like all those series went seven, but they had home court advantage. But instead, we now kind of have this really bizarre situation where the Nuggets look defeated. They look completely... I mean, they just lost that game without Rudy Gobert playing.
I mean, if you really break...
That's not acceptable.
Yeah, but if you break it down with Jokic, I mean, is this like in the grand scheme of things? He saw last year, like, I can't be playing this long into the spring. Like the horses are running back home. I got to get back. He probably loves the fact that they might get swept in this round to get home sooner than later. By the way, the reason why this is probably playing Kevin on Friday in Minnesota is because that whack ownership group was like, man, we ain't getting out of the first round. Schedule in advance. Open up those dates for a couple concerts to roll in through that arena here up in Target Arena or whatever it's called at this point. That's what happened. That's why they're playing on Friday. It's not because, like, oh, you know what? The NBA wanted to stagger this out and let 4 days go by between these two games. Nonsense. They sold that arena out, and the only opening date was going to be on Friday, which is quite hilarious. But that was a terrible performance. Porter Jr., 1 of 7 from the three-point line, 9 points. Jokic, 16 points. Jamal Murray, 8 points. KCP, 4 points. And the bench still gave you nothing either. Holiday played 22 minutes off the bench, gave you 13. But everybody else, nothing burgers across the board. I was shocked. I was like, you know what? Denver's going to get back into the series. Gobert isn't going to be there. It's going to be 1-1 going back to Minnesota. And now I say to myself, like, ooh, 15-1 price to win the NBA championship now in the Nuggets. 7-1 price or so to win the Western Conference. But I was trying to explain it to Ben. It sounds so good. Like, you can't give up on them yet. And then you tell yourself, they got to win 4 of 5 games versus the T-Wolves with no longer having home court advantage. That ain't happening, man. It ain't happening. Minnesota, man, making a charge possibly to the finals. Incredible stuff here. Best hour of your day is just underway right here on Money Live. We'll be right back after this short break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, where should we go next? The Garden? Should we go to PSG, Borussia Dortmund? I mean, there's so many places to go across the sporting landscape. I don't even know where to begin at this point. But we will go to Madison Square Garden. And if you didn't know, people, it's expensive to get into that building. The excitement is high. And I think the refs are partaking in that excitement a little bit too much over the first two rounds, because New York is stealing victories, which, granted, you need some help along the way to win series. But the fact last night, they should have gotten beat and won. Game number two in the Garden, round number one, they should have gotten beaten here. So when you say, well, it's one game, you can give it back. You want to talk about pressure situations. Open a series and get a win. Or in round number one, open the series, split on your home court, go back to Philadelphia. They crush you in game three. Now you're down 2-1. Let's see how you respond. Not you're still up 2-1 after getting crushed. Now you take a look at a team like Indiana, who played very well all night long. And granted, you usually don't want to leave it up to the referees. But sometimes it's like, hey, man, I dunked the basketball. It was a clean block. They didn't call it that way. Went down. Tough loss. You can't get two egregious calls in the final minute of a game that go against you, that literally take a W and turn it into an L. And that's what happened last night in the Garden.
The kickball call was completely insane.
Oh.
I mean, it was completely insane. I have no idea how. It's directly in front of your face.
Now, I didn't see it live. I saw it because I was, you know, rocked around on Twitter. Let me see this. Oh, that's a terrible call. In the moment, were the players losing their mind? Like, what was going on in that point?
Losing their mind. But I'll tell you this. I don't understand the NBA challenge rules. I hate to do this. I don't usually like to, like, let everybody know when I don't know what the hell's going on. NBA challenge rules, yeah. I'm clueless. I'm lost. I have no idea when they're going to overturn something. I have no idea when a team is allowed to challenge or not. I have no idea if you lose your timeout or keep your timeout. I cannot make any damn sense of these atrocious rules. But they call a kickball violation on a clear-cut steal where the Pacers would have had a fast break,
yes,
and would have gone and taken the lead on a three-on-one fast,
yeah,
break.
Yes.
Instead, DiVincenzo drills a three. Pascal makes one back. They trap Brunson. It does go off Nembhard's foot. This atrocious, yes, crew gets that wrong. So then Tibbs has to use his challenge. They, yeah, then trap Brunson again. It goes off Brunson this time for real. Hilariously, the Knicks were like, let's challenge that too, but they weren't allowed. Again, who the hell can make any sense of this thing? And then they call an offensive foul on Miles Turner, and Van Gundy is losing his mind. He's like, whoa, I mean, you don't. I mean, they never call that. Like, you know, sometimes the broadcasters, Donnie, want to cover for the refs. Like, it is,
yes,
a foul. Nobody.
Yeah.
Not a soul. Not a soul in the world had that reaction to it. And then we get an away from the play foul, mm-hmm, after the offensive foul. So now, yeah, the Knicks, instead of going to the line, if they make two, it's a three-point game. It's a four-point game. All of a sudden, we had this phenomenal 47 minutes of basketball where everything was tied, and it turned into an absolute ref show the final minute, and it was atrocious. And Knicks fans wonder why some outsiders are turning on this team and don't find, yeah, them that enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, the good part about it, too, is I've like watched some things around. There was a play last night, which I don't know when it actually happened, but it was Jalen Brunson, like, ooh, man, great block shot on Miles Turner. He ran in full speed and crashed into him and then blocked the shot. Like, heck, that's what you do, baby. That's street ball out here. So I love the fact that the Knicks.
Oh, my God, the overturn, yes, on the Brunson.
Now, see, I didn't know that was an overturn. That's why I didn't want to go into it, because I saw the initial tweet that got traction. It goes, they call this incidental contact. Brunson ran full speed and smashed into Miles Turner as he was still on the ground. And they're like, nah, it's all good. So was that play called a foul and then overturned?
Yes! It was called a foul and they overturned it to not a foul. Nobody knows what's going on anymore. Nobody knows. It's atrocious. It is so bad. The broadcasters are laughing at Tom Thibodeau for challenging the call. They don't, again, If you watch enough of these games, broadcasters go, oh, wow, that's going to be tough to overturn. Yes. And instead, Brian Anderson, I believe it was the play-by-play guy, goes, well, that's a lot of contact. We'll be right back after this break. And they come back, and Stan Van Gundy's like, yeah, I don't really know what's going on anymore, Brian. I mean, I've never seen all this incidental, marginal, I can't make heads or tails of this crap.
Like, if it wasn't Miles Turner, Kevin, he would have landed in, like, the third row and be like, yeah, I don't think he's really got him that good. Fantastic, man. Like sometimes those plays, now granted, referees have a hard enough job and we understand that, but we're led to believe like they are the best of the best out there. And so many times, like, I guess you don't really pay all that much attention in a full 82 game schedule. We can't have eyes on everything, but these standalone games, and it's like, hey, let's put out the 2-minute report. Yeah, we basically messed up every single possession here in these final 2 minutes, but we're going to apologize. Like, it's not even, there's no recourse for any of it to happen. And it's almost like you want to take, you ever see like a soccer game where it's like, hey, somebody got injured and, you know, the ball's still in play, so they stop. But the other team's like, all right, let me just kick it out of bounds because that's not right. You'll get it back. Don't worry about it. Like, the fact that the Pacers were going to go on, yes, a fast break that who knows what would have happened. Probably ended up with a dunk and a foul. But you take the lead in the final minute of the game. Instead of turns on you where a three gets dropped on your head, you're like, I don't know what I have to do at this point. Then you're trying to get back into the game. And look, here we go. You know I'm going to do this. Shout out Dan Orlovsky, I now think has a ghostwriter on his account just to make me angry. Geez. This morning is like, look, man, same exact play as the UConn play. And if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, the UConn, I'm going to run full speed, go way out of my way, and knock somebody off on a, you know, illegal pick screen. Now, last night, if you would have just ran that through, I watched that like 15 times ago. If you want, and I understand, if you wanted to call in the first 3 minutes of a game because you got word that there's going to be some real hard illegal screens to set the tone, like, look, we're not having that tonight. I'm just going to let you know. But in a game where it's so big and it comes right down to the wire, a terrible call on a pick play slash, you know, moving screen. I can't believe they called that in that moment.
I don't, but that's like, none of this makes any sense. That's the biggest issue right now, is none of this makes sense. If you watch the Brunson overturn, you're like, oh, they're just letting them play. Why the hell did they call it in the first place? But then they also made that call in the final minute. It comes off like the refs have no idea what they're doing, and it's always made funnier because the NBA has the 2-minute report where they go, hey, here's all the times our refs messed up last night.
I mean, refs, wow, trying to put the Pacers in a coffin right now, Kevin, if you know what I mean. Tough scene out here, boys. But we got more NBA action tonight. Doubleheader, a blowout, and show some respect for my OKC Thunder, people. We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Whoa, people. It's a party this afternoon on a Tuesday. Why? Because we got things to bet on tonight. Major League Baseball, NBA action. Let's do that hockey as well, which has been heated up tonight with a doubleheader. Carolina, New York. Colorado, Dallas. I feel like we're in the midst of greatness right now. Runs going on all over the place. And everybody's even excited about baseball because the Phillies are wrecking everything in their way. Shohei Ohtani and Mookie Betts are going to split the vote and allow a guy like Bryce Harper to win the MVP because it's madness. Now, let me just get off track for a second here. How, Kevin, is Mookie Betts a heavy favorite over Ohtani when Ohtani has him better in like every category? Did I miss something here? What are we expecting a suspension? Is that why we can't bet Ohtani? What's going on here?
Let me, hold on, I've, it was like, I have, it was like, suspicion.
Like a $3 difference. Has that changed since this morning? Pat, I was shocked to see those numbers this morning. Let me see.
I have a suspicion.
Let's still the same. $3.
Yeah, hold on. Ready? Yeah. Wins above replacement.
Not a,
in third place. Hold on. Hold on.
Yeah.
In third place, Ketel Marte, 2.4. Mm-hmm. In second place, this is NL batters, mm-hmm. Ohtani, 2.6. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In first place, Mookie Betts, 3.3. DH's winning MVP is close to impossible.
Stupid.
It's all it comes down to. That's all it comes down to.
What's Mookie? I haven't even seen Mookie Betts make a play in the field yet this year.
You want to know what's funny, though, Donnie? Cool. Okay, by the way, Offensive wins above replacement. Mookie's actually in front of Ohtani, 2.8 to 2.6. Now, that's incredibly close. But one, that does show Mookie being just an above-average fielder is going to allow him to just tack on, tack on, tack on against Ohtani. It is. And it's going to get used against him, DRS. And I'm not saying it's a mistake, but it's...
No, I know. Well, I just, like, if we're just using a formulated theory, then what's the actual point of anything here? Like, when I look at both of those, they're awesome players. But if we're just going by what I see on the night-to-night basis and see the numbers at the end of the day and the highlights coming through, Mookie Betts was unbelievable in the first couple weeks of the season and is still doing very well. But Otani's back to MVP Otani, and I said to myself, you know what? I actually don't know where the numbers are this morning, but I logged in the FanDuel and I said to myself, I'm not going to be surprised if Betts is probably still a favorite, but let's go plus 200, plus 225 in that range behind each other. It's basically like, we know Ohtani's better in every statistical category except some made-up war number, and Mookie Betts by a mile. I don't understand that. Like, at the end of this, if you tell me right now, the season ends, Ohtani better batting average, more RBIs, and more home runs, we're still giving it to Mookie Betts? I don't understand.
Well, it is incredible Ohtani has closed that gap in RBIs.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's now doubling him in home runs. Right? Yeah. Unscored, also only one more for Mookie Betts. Now, Mookie's got him beat for on-base percentage, right? But again, it is very simple. Do you actually believe a designated hitter can win the MVP? Because I'll put it to you like this, Donnie. This is basically what a DH has to do to be in the conversation almost. Like, Donnie, look at this season he's having right now, right? Like, what's his pace? Can we, like, is his pace a 370, 50 home run, 125 Oops. RBI season?
Mm-hmm. Let's just say it is.
Okay. Now, if he does that, Donnie, right? Okay, then he's probably going to win the damn thing. But isn't it more reasonable to think he'll finish the year batting 320? Still incredible. 45 home runs.
I mean,
and RBI. Like,
it's just so wild, though. You see that number because I wouldn't have any issue. It's like, hey, Betts is slightly ahead of Ohtani. Like, okay, we'll see how it plays out. But Betts is being priced now. Like, Ohtani can't catch him. Now, granted, it's only a $3 difference, but it just feels that way. Like, what it was the joke that we were making a couple years ago. I think it was between Ohtani and Vladimir. Like, Ohtani would hit 3 home runs that night. Vlad would strike out 4 times, but Vlad would increase his lead as the MVP. I'm like, I don't know how this works, and maybe I don't. Because to me also, when you look in the field, like MVP, I almost have MVP, Kevin, as strictly offensive numbers. Because I separate it because you do have golden gloves that you can win for best defender. So when I look at MVP, it's not necessarily the totality of what they can do. Like, okay, Mookie Betts is the single best center fielder we ever seen, even though he's playing like shortstop, right? Where it's like, okay, he's stealing runs per night and he's hitting 350. That's the MVP, right? But unless he's doing that, it's like I sort of separate and say, just give me the offensive statistics. That's how I'll dictate my MVP.
And that, but this is, and we always talk about this, though. You, Donnie, might vote for Ohtani, but that's not what's going to decide this award. That statistic matters. Whether you hate it or not, and it's not made up, right? It is pretty straightforward. Ohtani's up against it. I also think there's a world where more injury concern, Ohtani or Betts. Ohtani.
Yeah, probably so, but maybe a little bit less because he's just going to be that DH. But I haven't said that. Like, Ellie De La Cruz is 15-1. I bet that guy like 4 times on RBI. I don't know where. Does he even have a base hit on the season? I have no idea because he doesn't help me out. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tonight in the association, people, 12.5 number, Boston Celtics, Cleveland Cavaliers, and those Dallas Mavericks and OKC Thunder. That's a 3.5-point line. Let's start with the Cavs and the Celtics. Because as you saw, the Cavaliers in the series against Orlando, good on Orlando for making that a 7-game series. I thought they would really struggle, specifically after the first 2 games. I'm wondering if we would even see the series get back to Cleveland. But they righted the ship and played some pretty good basketball, and quite frankly, It's close to 20-point lead in Game 7. They probably should have won that thing, and Cleveland just had a great comeback and knocked them off. Now we move forward. No Porzingis, at least for game number one. I'm waiting to see on what we get out of Jared Allen's status for a guy that averaged 16.5 and 11.5, or 10.5, I should say, for the season. That could be a big difference maker. I do agree with this line continuing to move up. It opened up at 208.5. Now we're sitting at 211.5, and my theory behind that was, you saw these two teams, right? Because a lot of the times, Kevin, you're not going to really use too much regular season action. You go with the playoffs and say, how are these two teams playing? And the algorithms come through. But the algorithms also don't really take into account, well, yeah, Cleveland played Orlando, who is a terrible offensive team that's going to run a little bit slower, therefore lower scoring games. The Boston Celtics played an inefficient offense in the Miami Heat. I really like the over in tonight's game because I do think both of these teams can get to around 100 points, which will push for that. This morning it was like 208, 209. Now we're off with another two full points here. I agree with the line movement here, and I think we do get an over tonight.
Yeah, I don't mind the look at all. I'm on the Cavs plus the 12.5 in
this spot. I don't mind that either. Yep.
They covered all three regular season matchups, including a win against Boston without Donovan Mitchell. Look, it was a really interesting season series because we know Boston had, they kind of always had most of their guys, Donovan. There's plenty of games like one of their starting five was out. They had their full gas starting five for all three games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And in both home victories, they didn't cover the number. They led 11.5 in one spot and 9.5 in another. So I'm going to take the 12.5 points and hope that Cleveland can continue to ride the momentum here. You know, I'm a little interested in some of these series numbers with the Cavs, but it's... Again, I'll take the Cavs plus 2.5 games. Well, why am I taking that if they're supposed to get killed tonight at plus 135? I'm just going to take them plus 12.5 tonight, and we're going to go from there. And we'll try and evaluate the numbers. So I'm on the Cavs, stay on the spread.
Take a look at that game again tonight. 211.5 showing up on FanDuel. Player points props in this game. Tatum 27.5. Jaylen Brown 24.5. Derek White 16.5. Drew Holiday 11.5. Then you flip it over to Donovan Mitchell at 27.5 now. 15.5 for Garland. Mobley at 12.5. Max Strus at 9.5. Nothing coming up here just yet for Jared Allen. Missed the final three games of that Orlando Magic series with banged up ribs, but he is listed as questionable tonight. We'll see if he's able to give it a go. But this series, I don't think it's going to be a ton of competitiveness series long. I don't know if this gets the actual six games, but we'll find out a lot who's game and who's not, because Porzingis being out is going to start to add up a little bit for me on the Boston Celtics. Enough for them to get beat in the series? No, absolutely not. But maybe Cleveland can say, you know what? Could have a pretty good ball club here. We had higher expectations than what we actually finished, and if they're completely 100% healthy with Allen in the lineup, should be fun. Mavericks OKC tonight? I just see the disrespect, and I saw it a couple days ago. It was one of those, Kevin, last week where the minute game number five ended in Cleveland, talking about Cleveland-Orlando, I said, Ben, the very next morning, I don't care what we're doing on Friday when that game takes place, I'm laying that 3 points with Orlando. They're going to beat them. I'm not even worried about it. Let's go to game seven. And it did happen. I have that same vibe for OKC tonight, where I know people are like, hey, man, Mavs, Luka Doncic, love them. Kyrie, love them. Love the way they play basketball. Fun team to watch. Crazy good team to bet on if you're looking for player props, because they do it all, both of these guys. 3-point shots, rebounds, assists, you name it, they do it. But I just feel like OKC didn't get any credit for being the one seed in the West. It was basically sweeping the Pelicans, and people going, Zion's out there. That's a 7-game series. No doubt about it. Like, I feel like they're still in the afterburner, and the Mavs getting a lot of respect, Kevin, for beating a limping, bum, old team in the Clippers like they were the 5-time world champion Los Angeles Clippers. That's the way I feel, and I'm laying the 3.5 tonight.
So I don't mind laying the 3.5, but I don't think the Thunder are being disrespected. The Dallas Mavericks post-deadline were as good as basically any non-Boston team in basketball. And that's just where we are with the Dallas Mavericks. Yes, Donnie, OKC's the one seed. I mean, look, Donnie, they were a slip away from being the three seed, right? Like, they were 7 wins better than Dallas. I understand all of that there. OKC in their series with New Orleans almost lost the opener. Close game four, a pair of blowouts. They did what they needed to do. They won that series short. I don't know who the hell thought that series was going seven. Shout out to those people there. But again, for Dallas, Donnie, look, maybe it'll happen, right? Like, there could be some Thunder alt spread opportunities throughout the series. But the two games they lost, they spotted the Clippers a 30-point lead. They should have destroyed the Clippers in that series. They were much better than the Clippers. And as the series went on, they did beat them down. They won three of the four games that they won by double digits, right? Including that 30-point rout on the road against L.A. They won three road games in the series, the RS. So this is, or two, excuse me, two road games in the series. So I think the Mavericks are, I think they'll win the series. I think, but I... Or is there any concern about Luka's health? Because he's not 100%. Like, I'm trying to weigh it against, like, Embiid, right? You know, we just all knew Embiid wasn't healthy, and it's an unfortunate reality. Like, is there any concern on the Luka health?
Not right now. Like, until it's, like, really apparent. Because even, like, the way they're pricing him out, like, he's 31.5 as his points prop tonight. So we're going on full gas Luka. And sometimes these pros are just so damn talented that when they're running at 75%, it doesn't matter. Like, even in that final game for Joel Embiid, like, the opening tip of the game, Embiid didn't even jump. And the guy's out there playing, like, you know, 40 minutes, dropping close to 50 points and just going nuts. And it's just like, how do these guys do this? So I'm not all that worried about Luka Doncic's knee. I would have worried about it in that past series. It was like, okay. Remember the game was like, oh, Luka may be questionable in this game with that knee injury. Went out and cooked the Clippers. So I was like, oh, maybe he can, you know, still be that big guy and still a little bit slow, but able to get to his points and score. SGA tonight, 28.5 as his points prop. Chet Holmgren, 15.5. It's one of those where it's not necessarily a handicap X's and O's. Sometimes you just get a feeling about the game. That's why I brought up that Orlando Magic game. You say, well, Donnie, don't you have like Cleveland to win that series? Like, yeah, I was cheering like hell for Cleveland to win in game number 6. But my best bet was Orlando to win because in the moment it was like, no. Orlando's done this before. And the fact that they played game 5 close was like, they're probably going to win game 6. And they did. And then I watched and said, I'm an idiot. Like, why wasn't I just like at least hedging a little bit of money out here on game number 7 as I watched like a 20-point lead early and Cleveland looked horrendous in that game. But we're able to pull ahead because that stagnant offense finally caught up to the Orlando Magic. But I do, how do you see a total tonight? Do you got any feels on this total in this game?
I don't. I have two props. 218. I've got Chet over the 1.5 threes, and I've got SGA over 1.5 steals. Really like the SGA bet there, Donnie. When he played 37-plus minutes in the regular season, 17-game sample size, 15-2 over 1.5 steals. So I really like SGA on defense tonight.
Yeah, I think that place will be rocking. Also, FanDuel has an odds boost on this game tonight, which is usually the tougher ones for me are two guys to get over 20 points, and this one is two guys to get 25 or more, even though it makes sense. Odds-wise, a minus 200 boosted to a plus 100 on SGA and Luka to get 25 points apiece. Almost similar to what we saw last night, which didn't get there, was Ant-Man to get 25 or more. He got to 27, and then obviously, you know, going out there last night and just getting the... I mean, come on, man. Like, 16 points last night, a triple-double. Like, I'm just looking to lean into that one to get an easy victory. And I also took the one plus 125 to get the 25 apiece in that game, and I still didn't get it. Still didn't get it. So I'm a little bit leery. I like that bet tonight. I'll probably end up betting it. But the two guys for 25 or more take me down a lot because you still got to get it from two guys here.
What are the two? Who do you need 25 from? Who? Donovan and Tatum.
It's SGA and Luka tonight, each to get 25 or more points.
You know, SGA had some weird performances against Dallas this year. If Luka doesn't get 25, though, like I can't. I'll tell you, and Donovan, like if SGA finishes with 24, what does that mean?
Yeah,
things went pretty bad.
No, they did. You got to pencil him in for 30. And you know Luka's going to be game tonight. I think he gets down, but it's one of those like, how's this guy have 16 points in the fourth quarter, man? Come on, SGA, be better than that. I don't want that to happen tonight. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday. Like, yo.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NHL tonight, doubleheader. Did you know, people? Did you know? Now, my squad's not playing tonight, and I don't mean the Philadelphia Flyers. That's the Edmonton Oilers, pal. Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. But tonight, it's Carolina and New York, so the Garden will be rocking again. And then we have Colorado-Denver, 9:30 start tonight. A 5.5 total in that Carolina-New York game, and then a 6.5 total in Colorado and Dallas. Have you been watching any hockey? Because I've been watching more hockey, as I told you, this season than for the the past like 5 years combined. Like, I'm actually really enjoying it at this point.
I've been betting it more than watching, but things have been going well. I had the over with the Rangers Canes game on Sunday, mm-hmm. and yesterday I had the Bruins, so that was a nice little spot there. 5-1 was hilarious, I'll tell you that. 5-1 was hilarious. They beat
Swayman's out here.
Florida team.
Third in line now at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Conn Smythe as the best player in the playoffs. I mean, it's amazing what a goalie can do for your franchise. How about that? Swayman.
Now, tell me this, right? Remember, like, the Final Four player, the Final Four stuff?
Yes.
Like, yep. We're trying to figure. Like, the Conn Smythe. Like, does what you do in this round matter, or is it just whoever's the best?
All the way through. Yeah, I think so, the playoff. Conn Smythe is the playoff's best player, I believe.
So, like, is McDavid going to win it even if Edmonton doesn't get there? I mean, what's the story?
No, you still have to, like, you could put it this way, Kevin. You can play three rounds, not even make it to the Stanley Cup final, and be like, wait a second. You're telling me McDavid had 37 assists? Nobody's ever done that in the history of the game. And then a guy that has, like, seven assists wins the Conn Smythe, just the way it is at that point. But we do get a laugh. But by the way, it's funny you bring that up. We were talking about on FanDuel this morning the odds to win the NBA. MVP of the finals, which usually, because the reason the question came up was like, UConn we knew was going to win it, or felt like we were going to win it. It's like, wait a second. Well, let me just take UConn to win it, because I'm not getting screwed on one of seven guys that can win this, MOP championship in the final four. But you look at the NBA, Kevin, and I look at the first like five guys, and you're like, there's no way these guys, if their team doesn't win, are not getting voted in. And even though it is an MVP finals award, stop the madness. It just means like, Tatum was every bit as good as Jaylen Brown, even though Jaylen Brown had a better game every single game in the finals. Go ahead. Take it, Jason Tatum, because a superstar is going to get that.
Don't give me
a Iguodala. Bum ass.
Donnie, people would have given that. I'm just saying, that was round one. Like, Derek White would have won finals MVP off of that series. I would not be betting Tatum at plus 160.
Yeah.
You just bet. Donnie, it's worth it. They're plus 100 to win the title. You'd rather plus one, the $60 makes the difference?
Yeah, that's
crazy.
How strong of a conviction I have on that.
No, that's terrible. That's
like
terrible.
We run over scenarios like, Anthony Edwards averages 9.6 points per game in the finals, and it's like, well, yeah, they still won. No, they didn't. They got hammered. They probably got swept in that series.
Yeah, but
same thing, like,
about
if the Knicks make a run to the finals and win it all, it's like, well, what chance is not Brunson?
Wait, so, yeah, but I'm not debating Brunson or anything else. I'm talking about Tatum.
Yeah,
Tatum, Donnie, was the third. Tatum was the third leading scorer in their series against Miami.
And he would have got it still. They would have still.
No, he wouldn't have. He absolutely wouldn't have. He 100% would have not.
He wants to be the face of the NBA. He's on commercials.
Good for him. Doesn't matter.
Krzyzewski coached him. It's just the way it is.
He'd be on any commercial he wants.
By the way, like, there's a guy who used to be in the city of Philadelphia. I don't know if you know him, by the name of Brian Colangelo. And there was a pivotal time where Sam Hinkie said, like, imagine this, Kevin. Let's just go back in time for a second. Like, you have somebody that does all the work for you and then gets fired. It's like, oh, my God. Like, I don't even have to do any work for the next 5 years. I have all the draft picks, all the cap space. All I have to do is press buttons here. I'm going to be the best GM the city of Philadelphia has ever seen. And then it's like, yeah, we're going to take Fultz, who turns out has a head case and can't shoot. We're going to trade up. And instead of just getting Tatum, who would be an absolute flame in Philadelphia, we're just going to get Marquette. Like, I go back to those eras and I say to myself, how did it get messed up? But the NBA was a smart, it was, I gotta say, if the Sixers had the fall on the sword for the good of the NBA, they really did. Because the NBA was smart to say, because let's just say Sam Hinkie stays around in Philadelphia, Kevin, and they draft Tatum and get all these assets, ended up winning like three championships. The NBA might have to go bankrupt at this point, because 17 teams would blow away their seeds to be like, see what Sam Hinkie did? That's the future of the NBA. So maybe the Sixers fans had the fall on the sword for the greater good, Kevin, of the NBA overall.
I wish he got to see it out. I wish Hinkie got to see it out. Like, how do you let him do what he did and then not finish it? That's still kind of.
And I think Sixers fans actually like the process better than the results. Like, we actually enjoyed getting hammered and seeing how many draft assets we could actually get by the end of the season and try to turn it into legitimate talent. But you never really see that where the NBA or league steps in and goes, we're going to have to, like, sanction your team if you keep this guy because this isn't for the good of the game. Meanwhile, it's the only way to get better in most instances if you just can't get, like, LeBron James to come to your team. team. But for that to work out, I think it might have ruined the NBA overall, because other GMs would just sell their ownership group. Look, you're going to make a lot of money. Just bite the bullet. We're going to get lucky with draft assets. And maybe the next LeBron James or Victor Wembanyama comes our way. Then we'll build it and your franchise will triple in value. So I guess for a good reason it had to end, but I don't know how they messed up. The Jahlil Okafors, the Ben Simmons, the Fultzes, like so many whiffed on draft picks that if they just had worked out, who knows where the Sixers would have been at this point.
But I do think the incredible thing, like, I'll never get over it, Donnie. The story is not as simple as, they picked bad players. It is not that simple, right? Markelle Fultz was a unanimous top choice. And all of a sudden, things he was able to do in college, he was not able to. Like, it doesn't make sense. And Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons actively hit in the NBA. Multiple All-Star teams, made an All-NBA. Like, mm-hmm. Ben Simmons worked. And then, I'm sorry, I don't know. Maybe it never would have mattered because clearly the guy's not healthy. And that's obviously just like a big part of the issues here. But the decisions to blame everything on Ben, wildly bad.
It was right. That was right.
No, it wasn't. Right. Obviously bad. No,
we were proved right in Philadelphia by what he did. And by the way, is he even injured or is he just like, you know what, I like money more than the NBA. I just want to play my video games. And because you can never question to a trainer that my back hurts. Like, that's the one thing that trainer, like, you know what, he's right. We can't even get him on that. Like, hey, coach, my knee hurts. No. We got all these MRIs in the world. Your knee is fine. Get out there and play. My arm hurts. No, it doesn't. We did x-rays and MRIs. It's fine. Back hurts. Like, ooh, maybe it does. Just crazy. Imagine this, Kevin. If Ben Simmons ever worked on his jump shot and got involved, who knows what player he could actually been, but we know what player he actually is now. One more segment to go before we get you out of here tonight. Come on back. It's Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Major League Baseball today. Weather's starting to turn here, people, and it should. It's the month of May at this point. A couple landing spots today with some good warm weather. Winds blowing out. Temperatures that I like here. Kansas City, by the way, it seems like every single night, Kevin, and go figure, like Kansas City, for the longest time, like we were handicapping games here, like, it's like Salvador Perez or nobody, and half the time Salvador Perez isn't that good, but now you got some legitimate options in the middle of that lineup, which always land on, if you're facing a right-handed pitcher, it's Michael Massey and Vinny Pasquantino. Both of those guys are doing damage. Now, yesterday, Massey, I believe, might have had their only run. I think they scored three runs. But he had the first run of the game, which was a solo home run, which was awesome. Cashed a ticket. He was plus 210, I believe, for an RBI, which for a home run, probably 5-1 at that point. But then you had to take a look at Vinny P, who had first and second with one out. Grounds into a double play, I think, in the sixth inning. Then bases loaded, Kevin, and one out in the seventh inning. Grounds into another double play. So it's close to a 2-0 night, but still you'll take the 1-1. But I look at those guys now. It's like Vinny P and Michael Massey. Got to be in your lineup just about every night going against Colin Ray today. 76-degree temperatures, a wind blowing out at Kauffman Stadium. Not a bad look. I've been having a lot of fun in baseball and a lot of bets. Minimum, Kevin, every night of at least 10 guys I'm picking for RBIs and throwing them into round robins. Now, sometimes I'm doing three-leg round robins, which pays more money, but obviously a little bit harder to hit because you need two of the three guys to hit. Three for three is perfect. But last night I did an 11-person round robin. Actually ended up losing like 30 bucks overall. Had a couple bad beats there, but you hang around in hopes of those days where you're hitting the threes, and quite frankly, the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, they should have been a couple $1,000 days, and they weren't. They were a couple $100 days, but I'm still waiting for that monster night outside of that one, which was a three-leg, two RBI prop, which I almost got all three, and ended up only getting two there. So there's some big ticket items out there to have fun with.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and get involved with some Dinger Tuesday. But I'll be honest with you. Here's one thing with baseball that kills me is I just don't like betting until the lineups are out. It makes everything easier for me. And then game time starts, and we have 2-minute breaks now, so it's hard for me to figure out on the fly. By the way, did you see the Marlins game last night with the Dodgers? I should have just backed off and took the 8.5, like you said.
What did you end up going with?
I took 2.5.
The 2.5? They're up right away, too.
Donnie, yeah, it's 2-0. Before the first out was recorded, it was 3-2. But how about no one scoring for the final six innings?
Exactly. Like, another crazy one.
A disaster. Such a disaster.
We talked about that this morning. I was like, yeah, Kevin and I were going over this, and I think I hit like the sweet spot on it because I was like, my ineffective like 1 minute cap was, what are you even worried about this for? Like, Bueller can be average, and he was average, and they can still win by, you know, run line, which they did. And I'm like, you know what? Forget about all that. If you think Bueller's going to be average, you know the bats are going to come to play for the Dodgers against this, you know, average pitcher. And it's funny that, yes, it's like, well, it was really close when technically it wasn't. Like, you had the total in the third inning, and then nobody scored the rest of the way. But I kept saying, like, I think Kevin was talking about that 2.5. I wonder if he went that way and how he was thinking watching. Like, okay, look, 2-0. Oh, no, I'm down now. Oh, look at that. I just tied the game back up in the second. This is going to be great. And then the Dodgers continue just to drop runs on your head. That's a crazy lineup, and almost everything went exactly the way I thought in that ball game, which included I did have an RBI prop on Ohtani. And what did he do, Kevin? 2-run home run. Of course he did.
Here's the worst part. For whatever reason, I thought yesterday was Tuesday for a lot of the day.
Nice.
So that means it's Dinger Tuesday.
Ah.
What did you? And you said to me, Munoz has some struggles against lefties.
He does.
Which, again, I speak very fluent, Donnie.
Yes.
Lefties are going deep. So I said to myself, I'm going to bet the Marlins, but since it's Dinger Tuesday, I don't know. I'll pick one of Ohtani or Freeman to go deep. I'll probably pick Ohtani.
Yes. Yep.
Then I found out it wasn't Dinger Tuesday. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah.
And they both homered in the
inning one. Inning one. That's the tough one. Yes. Like, let me get it out of the way, because one of the very last things I saw was the Ohtani home run, because I think I had Muncy a little bit later in that lineup. Like, oh, can I get one more here? That would be a nice, profitable night. But I always get the kick out of it. It's like, let me just, because I see the update come through on my phone, and I'm a whack job. So then I have to, instead of just looking at the update itself, I got to go to the game and scroll down, like, oh, who was it? And then I get a laugh. It's like, oh, look at that. Ohtani, 2-run home run right away in that game. Could have went home runs, could have went 2 RBI, but again, you're never going to. It's plus 125 for Ohtani at Bet365, so you're not going to get angry. But getting those RBIs like cleared off the board in like the first inning, where we can just shut the notifications off, always a good thing. Big card today, which actually starts Texas and Oakland, 337. Adolis Garcia did let me down yesterday. Had him to get an RBI, but a big card tonight. Doubleheader in the NBA, doubleheader in the NHL. Catch Kevin on Game Time Decisions tonight, coming up at 6 p.m. That'll do it for the show. For JP, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh. See you tomorrow. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.